PRB Plus Magazine presents Running, Jumping, and Flipping. Is Your Community Ready for a Parkour Park? By Heidi Lemon. Read by Sean Price. Parkour has been around for centuries and provides a full-body workout, which has led to the development of current fitness trails and military obstacle courses. Modern parkour consists of daredevils leaping between buildings, somersaulting off walls, and scaling tall buildings. This doesn't really sound like an activity a recreation and parks director would be interested in, but it does sound exactly like a skate park proposal from the 1990s, a wild idea presented by a ragtag group of kids and young adults to duplicate city obstacles for use in a public park. Just as public skate parks have proven to be a huge success, with over 20,000 in the U.S. alone, recent developments suggest that Parkour parks will also be successful, not only as a space for athletes, but also for the sports spectators to gather, watch, and be inspired. Parkour is a somewhat English version of the French word parcours, which means route. In parkour, the route an athlete takes includes a series of rolls, vaults, leaps, and landings used to conquer whatever is on the path. The people who do this are called traceurs. Parkour, as we know it, originated in Lisses, France. It was founded by David Bell in the early 90s and was introduced stateside by Mark Turok around 2005. Turok had been working in London in 2002 and discovered parkour via TV commercial featuring Bell. Turok was hooked. Prior to that, the first instances of parkour date back centuries to indigenous people in Africa and a Chinese form of martial arts called qigong. Before World War I, French naval officer Georges H. Bert was instrumental in developing a parcours du combattant, or military obstacle course. In the U.S., parkour has caught on with young people, especially in urban areas, similar to the way skateboarding first took hold. Part of the appeal of skateboarding was, and still is, its accessibility. It's not as expensive as most sports, but still costs to ride, with a complete skateboard running about $150 and the deck lasting anywhere from a few weeks to a month or two. Parkour is a cost-free alternative step out of your door and start running, jumping, and flipping. What could be more fun? Kids also like parkour because of video games and movies. According to Colin McDonald of Parkour Visions, a Pacific Northwest-based 501(c)(3) nonprofit that provides planning, camps, and guidance for all things parkour-related. McDonald says youth see parkour in movies, video games, and cartoons and want to experience it in real life. Creating parkour spaces lets kids know the sport is possible. As with skateboarding, when the only places to practice are the streets, the sport's core demographic consists almost entirely of young kids. By creating formalized spaces that are more inviting, municipalities can attract more diverse age groups and also create a gathering place where people of different skill levels can learn and improve. Of course, designated areas aren't required. A recent Al Jazeera report highlighted young men in Gaza who train in the bombed-out ruins, proving that, even in the worst of times, when everything is gone, parkour is still an option. Also, inner-city areas often lack large open spaces, making parkour a great and cost-free fit for young residents. But what exactly would a parkour park look like? Parkour parks are not meant to be large like skate parks. Even a few hundred feet will work, but anywhere from 3,000 to 7,500 square feet is a good size. Over 10,000 square feet can accommodate more of a ninja obstacle course if municipalities have the space and budget for something larger. However, remember, what will make the park attractive is a good level of density with interesting connections. When jumping from rail to rail or wall to wall, using parallel surfaces, the obstacles need to be close enough to make the jump, the opposite of skate parks, where athletes need room to roll in and roll away from the obstacles. Versatility is a concern as well. A well-designed parkour park is a multi-use space that a wide range of ages can use for a wide range of purposes, and is also great for parkour, calisthenics, mobility, and CrossFit-style workouts, says Took, founder of American Parkour. The space can be designed to be accessible by people with differing abilities and can offer spaces to lounge and read, act as tables, or mimic natural settings with boulders and logs. Wheelchair and adaptive users are also welcome. Additionally, a parkour park can easily be tucked into a smaller space within a larger park, or serve as a small standalone park. With parkour parks, costs are heavily dependent on building materials. Wood is less expensive, and if parks departments go this route, they should also budget for repairs and maintenance. Concrete and steel are the preferred materials, and typical budgets can range from $100,000 to $350,000 depending on the park's size. A wood park may use wood chips for the surface, but a steel or concrete park will most likely use a standard safety playground surface and include a 6-foot buffer zone around the equipment. There is a lot of crossover between skateboarding and parkour, and some cities have built parkour parks adjacent to local skate parks. The parkour park will attract spectators, so ensure there's enough space around the park for shade landscaping, benches, picnic tables, restrooms, and a water fountain. Free public parkour parks are being built all over the world. The UK, Europe, and Asia are preparing for future Olympic athletes, and parkour could be slotted for the next Olympics. As the sport's popularity grows, it's important to have spaces where all users, not only beginners, but also accomplished trashers, are accepted and feel comfortable. They can socialize, make friends, and reap parkour's health benefits at no cost and with no special equipment. Younger users especially can participate without worrying about qualifying for or being cut from a team. Despite the benefits these parks can provide, there aren't many options yet. Sadly, there are only 3 parkour-specific parks in the U.S. that I'm aware of, says Robbie Corbett, head of instructor certifications at World Freerunning Parkour Federation, WFPF. Those parks are in Washington, Massachusetts, and New York. Corbett has trained at all 3, citing the first 2 as good options despite the low budgets with which they were built. The New York park had a higher budget, but Corbett says the people involved in its construction didn't consult the state's parkour community for guidance. With so few properties throughout the country, there's a clear need for more. For municipalities that choose to build a parkour park, it can be a win-win addition that's fun and attractive for residents and is on the front end of a fast-growing trend. Corbett says, "I know every local community would benefit immensely from having access to a public park or park that is designed with the entire family in mind, a park where all ages and abilities would be able to play, train, and progress together. A park that would still present new challenges every time you visit it, and a park that helps unlock the no obstacles, no freedom mindset.